The Lion and the Witch fight over the wardrobe. I write on the white kitchen walls in black Sharpie, thick lines that cannot be erased. Female figures with tangled, twisted hair that cascades and crashes into the drawings of the starry-eyed Saturn pencil sketch, above and below, ink on plaster, ink on skin. There is no difference. Creative expression must take precedence, and someone asks, what will they think? I wear metal animal ear headbands, copper rabbit, pearl cat, rhinestone mouse, paired with faux fur coats in teal and bejeweled beige, remnants of yesteryear's glamour, a vintage hand-sewn Japanese kimono that belonged to someone's grandmother, a 60s beaded iridescent blouse that shimmies and shakes and lets everyone know I'm on my way. I like the playfulness, the fun. It doesn't cover up, it reveals, reflects the spirit underneath, and still someone asks, what will they think? I stock my house with novel ideas and feed my mind, often three at once. The occult for breakfast, tarot, witchcraft, herbalism, slice up sections of self-help and always go back for seconds, an appetizer of art history, magical realism for lunch and dinner, a palate cleanser of new age philosophy, steep the spirituality and sip intentionally, crystals and incense, anoint the shelves, oracle cards and affirmations lining the mirror of my bathroom. Altars of talismans, feathers, and fiery poetry all in plain sight. And still someone asks, what will they think? Have you stopped and thought, maybe I stopped, being afraid to just be me? Have you stopped and thought, I do it just to make you think?
You're listening to Ink Speak, where storytelling and poetry meet the wonder and magic of living. I'm your captain, author, poet, and unearther of life, Maverick Malone.
Welcome back to another episode of Ink Speak. I know it's been a minute, and on today's episode, I want to talk about an experience I had a couple weeks ago. So without going into too much detail of the actual event, because we'll save that for my work in process memoir, I had an experience recently that reflected to me just how much I have grown, that just how much, yes, I am kind of understanding the assignment here, and said experience is entangled with something as simple as clothing, what I choose to adorn my body with, and how I decide to visually show up in this world. I have many, many stories regarding just how important clothing is to me. Not only because I love beautiful things, but because for the longest time, I believed said beautiful things were not meant for me. Standing apart from the crowd was absolutely like the last thing I wanted to do. However, there was also a part of me that very much did, that wanted to be one of those women who could wear sexy dresses, can't miss me sequin jackets and bold prints and feel confident in them, in the being noticed part. I admired people who could parade around in public in a gold glitter duster and a pair of lime green checkered pants. I desperately hungered for that kind of I don't give a fuck what you think of me message that clothing can so effortlessly and concisely deliver. Because much like art, clothing is also just another extension of how we express ourselves. In fact, fashion is very much an art form, and I'm swooning here thinking back to a very specific 1950s turquoise Dior gown my mother brought home back in the days when she used to do eBay and she would source vintage from estate sales and garage sales. And I fully did not appreciate that to the full extent that I should have back then, but you know, hindsight 2020. And with some of the outfits I put together, I feel like they truly are wearable works of art. And you might get what I'm saying here if you've seen some of my Instagram stories where I share my outfits, and I'm starting to kind of do more of that on my Instagram too, because fashion is just a big, big part of my world. I've always gravitated towards fashion, but up until my about mid-20s, I never truly embraced it, and I definitely didn't take risks with it. Instead, as I fell deeper into my own despair and self-loathing, I used clothing as the opposite. I used it to hide. And one summer, I was so ashamed of my own body that I wore jeans and hoodies in the 100-plus degree humidity of a southern Tennessee summer. That was when I was like in the thick of my own shit back then. For as much as a small part of me wanted this bigness and boldness and to express myself in bright colors and flowy gowns and things that were just fun, the part of me that won out was the part that wanted to hide and fade away into the background because she didn't feel like she was enough or that anyone would love her or accept her the way she was for who she was. As I began to build my confidence over the years, and let me tell you, that has been a whole other journey. Like, things like confidence to that degree from where I came do not happen overnight. But over time, my wardrobe has drastically expanded and evolved. My shoe collection has also drastically expanded and evolved, growing louder and louder by the year. I no longer hide my body, but have transformed it into somewhat of a parade. Legs, shoulders, and back on display. I like to show off my tattoos. Like, girl, give me some peekaboo lace or a black silk lingerie-like top any day. There is both a lion and a witch in that wardrobe now, and through fashion, I think I've integrated both. Loud is a descriptor in which my dad recently used, among other not nearly as gentle adjectives, when he said my outfit choices make him uncomfortable. He asked me to change my outfit before we went out to dinner one night, and I told him flat out no. Mind you, I'm turning 36 next week. Why can't you dress normal? He said, exasperated. That word flying out of his mouth with such force that I could feel it making contact with my body. Without saying as much, I know he feels some level of embarrassment and shame to be seen with me in some of my get-ups, and that's his stuff, not mine. Because that's the thing, right, that we have to remember. When people comment negatively when we're just being ourselves, it's never about us. This has come up a lot lately, especially with one of my friends who was receiving some nasty comments on Instagram for her work that she should, like, rightly be proud of. And it all goes back to a wonderful quote that has just also keeps coming up. And it goes, "I am not what you think I am. You are what you think I am." What better words to live by than those, right? Like, send that shit right back to whoever just threw shade. No thanks. What we choose to wear can be triggering to some people, but it goes beyond clothing. Who we choose to be, how we choose to show up and express ourselves can be triggering. What is empowering and beautiful to one can be upsetting or angering to another. Such is the wonder of the idea of triggers as teachers. They speak to what we still need to work through, and some of us are more than willing to do that inner work while others are just too uncomfortable to even consider the higher perspective or truly listen to another person's lived experience. I see loud as a compliment, the highest, in fact. Like, yes, call me and my outfits loud. Hear me, notice me. I will not fade into the background or turn the volume down on my messages and the myriad of avenues in which I present and express them, and neither should you. The way in which you show up in the world, be it with your outfits, your hobbies and interests, your chosen profession, your sexuality, your gender identity, or complete rejection thereof, who you choose to love, your dreams, your big, beautiful, bold beliefs, these things are what comprise the unique expression of you in a world that is screaming for embracing diversity. Embracing individuality and differences is a huge part of my platform because the world has enough normal already, enough conformity. We're not here to keep others comfortable. We are here to be ourselves and catalyze others into change. People get triggered and uncomfortable because it's not what they're used to. But the thing is, the answer isn't us changing to make them less triggered and more comfortable. It's them being exposed to that jarring discomfort and attempting to see it from a more expansive lens, to lean into it rather than just swat it away, to consider that maybe, just maybe, there is something there to learn. It's never about an individual changing or conforming to make a separate and triggered individual more comfortable. This is not our job. It is only our job as humans to examine our own triggers, to question them and get curious about them and deal with those on our own. Literally anything could be triggering for someone. We can't walk on eggshells our entire lives trying to please everyone and hope we don't step on someone else's landmine. We're bound to trigger someone in some capacity at some point in our lives. But what we have to realize is that that's not actually about us at all. It's about them. It's triggering a story or belief or a feeling in them and making them feel some type of way. And then they want us to change so they can feel better. As Dave Asprey likens being easily triggered to walking around with a loaded gun, and he says, "You need to unload the gun. It's not everyone else's job to make you not shoot them. It's your job to say, I'm not carrying a weapon anymore." I heard that on a podcast and I wrote it down because I was just like, phew, like, you know, the little emoji with the brain exploding. It was that kind of a moment. For me, continually asking myself hard questions and being willing to look within has been how I have disarmed my own triggers. Everything has led me here by deconstructing the limiting aspects of my belief system, many of which came from my parents, including this asinine idea that I should dress a certain way, or that specific articles of clothing are only for a certain age group. I have learned to feel not only comfortable in my own skin, but confident in it. So much so that I can wear a revealing dress without worrying how others will perceive me or what they may infer about something skin tight on my body. Because what others like my dad so often miss is that word that is so blatantly obvious to us, especially if you identify as a woman: mine, my body, and what we choose to do with said body, right down to what we put on it, be it clothing, tattoos, piercings, or what we choose to inject or put into or take out, how we want it to look, and most of all, what we want to do with not only said body, but this life that is ours. Your choice, your life, what you choose to do with your body and your life has no bearing on mine. And look, I'm not trying to throw shade at my dad. I believe it was just such a powerful example of my own growth, and honestly, one of the many plights of women for decades, us just wanting to wear whatever the fuck we want without someone else making it mean something about that or about them. I was simply setting a firm boundary with my dad, something that has taken me years to do. He's always been a voice at the back of my head making me question myself, and me telling him no and firmly deciding I was going to do what I want, he took that as being disrespectful. And mind you, I was not disrespectful about it at all. It was him and his attempt to control the situation by making me change so that he could feel more comfortable versus everything I've learned so far about who I am and what I stand for. I was talking to Jake the other day about this whole experience I had with my dad, and he put it so succinctly. He said, my own dad asking me to change my clothes, which basically said, it was basically him saying, I can't be okay when you dress like that. That was not him setting a boundary. That was control. I feel like this is where the great divide of boomers, conservatives, and the patriarchy in general is versus the expanded and open mind of those of us willing enough to do the deeply transformational inner work of examining ourselves and confronting our trauma and our shadows. It's completely different ways of thinking and also of reacting, right? I was not angered or pissed off by his triggered and flustered response. Honestly, I was dumbfounded more than anything, but after he had left and my mom and I had a whole discussion on this, I passionately and at length explained why this was so important to me. And my mom actually said at one point to me, she said, I can see this is a trigger for you. And I looked at her, head cocked slightly. No, I said, it's not a trigger. It's an opportunity. It was an opportunity for me to choose differently than I would have in the past. Instead of rolling over and politely doing as my dad asked, to change my outfit, instead of obeying and changing my clothes to appease him, I stood up for myself and my beliefs. I said, no, absolutely not. I do not conform for anything, no matter who it is, family or not. And this whole experience was an opportunity for me to stand up for and to protect that little girl inside of me that so often back then protected and hid away this version of myself that I am now. This loud and bold and does what she wants and loves over the top big and plays in this wild world. I'm a version of myself and becoming, continuing to become, a version of myself I've always wanted to be, a version I've always at least sensed inside of me. And I'm still becoming and growing into yet more versions, but who I am now is someone I dreamed of being back then, as a shy, good and obedient, please, thank you, yes, I'm sorry, of course, absolutely timid version of myself. And I'm beyond grateful for her, for what she endured, for what she kept hidden away back then and protected, so that I can arrive here in moments like this, where I have to stand up to authority figures, men especially, that used to intimidate me. And my dad is a very loving and doting, amazing father. Just, he has some very conservative and outdated beliefs, and I get it. He's a product of his generation and his own culture. But I mean that younger version of myself that just couldn't say no to anyone. That's who I was standing up for. Least of all, like, to her own parents. I hadn't learned how to stick up for myself or really even begun to separate which beliefs were mine and which weren't. What did I truly believe? What were my values? What did I want? And what this experience recently exhibited to me with my dad becoming so upset over an outfit that I chose to put on my body, my 36-year-old grown-ass woman's body, was my own growth. And in that moment, it was asking me to reflect on that and say, okay, I am also being taught a lesson here. How can I move through this conflict with grace and wisdom, or, you know, as much as possible? How can I be respectful, but still hold a boundary? How can I put into actionable practice literally everything I have learned up until this point? And it very much felt like a final exam to me. The whole of April felt like a final exam, with everything from my second book release and speaking to the biggest crowd I've spoken to date, performing my poetry, to co-leading a retreat of women, to standing up to my dad and standing up for my beliefs. This was very much an opportunity to give myself the greatest gift I could ever give myself. The words I've been very much wanting to hear, but haven't, so I said them to myself after this situation. I remember literally patting myself on my knee, and I said to myself when I was in the bathroom looking at myself in the mirror, and I said, I'm proud of the woman you've become. And I couldn't have gotten here without first being there. And I very much love and honor and appreciate that shy and scared version of myself who did the best she could with what she had. So much of these seemingly negative, tough, or difficult experiences we have, these things that trigger us, they're all just growth opportunities. When you come at it from that angle, it truly is incredible what you can do with it. And I said the same to her of my dad. I said, you know, this is an opportunity for him too, to recognize what the situation is bringing up to be investigated and questioned and looked at, which honestly I think is less about me pissing him off by saying no and more about him grieving an old version of myself that no longer exists, having become this other version and grown immensely, and him having to come to terms with that. Because underneath anger, if you dig deep enough, there's always grief. You could apply that to any situation in which someone is undergoing any kind of transformation, be it gender identity, sexuality, becoming more outspoken, whatever. Something as simple as a name change. It's all change, and change is hard when people have only known one version of you your whole life, and suddenly you're flipping the script on them and becoming a whole new person. It can make them uncomfortable. But that's not on you. That's on them. You're not here to accommodate anyone else's emotional state by compromising your own authenticity or your boundaries and beliefs. It's not your job to pander to someone else's feelings. You can argue your case for days, and some people still won't hear you. But such is life sometimes when interacting with people and our many different belief systems, ideals, and values, right? Not everyone is in a place to truly even be able to hear us. But I am grateful for that experience because it forced me to stand up to my own dad when, in the past, I would recoil. I rarely went against my parents' wishes, be it from something small like changing into longer shorts or making damn sure I never missed curfew. I had an upbringing in which I did not disobey because I was just, I had the full identity of good girl by every meaning of that word. And that was just part of who I was and how I saw myself, in which I just didn't disobey. I did as I was asked. I behaved well, got good grades in school, always listened to my parents and did what I was asked of, and I was praised for it. I think I've mentioned this before, but I didn't even have the strength to pursue what I wanted as a career, which was originally photojournalism, because they heavily dissuaded me from that for various reasons, namely financial. This is all to say that I, like many, placed so much weight, so much desperate need for approval from my parents around this for so much in my life, from doing well in school to what career I chose. There were numerous times I wanted to dye my hair or pierce my nose or simply wear shorter shorts, and I was just told no, those things were not for me. Because of the opinions and beliefs and views, values that my parents had around these things and what they thought of it. I was also severely risk averse because that's just the belief system I grew up in, one of intense fear of the world. Also, you know, coupled with my own experiences of just danger lurking around every corner. And I was so, so shy. So that staying safe to me meant staying small and comfortable. And that safety came in the form of what was known, what was a given, that if I was good, if I did as I was asked, I would be loved and I would be safe. My self-expression and identity has been heavily suppressed for years. That it's no wonder now, well into my 30s and amassing more and more confidence as I continue to grow, that I'm taking risks, trying new things, plucking every sequin and sheer thing from the hanger, dyeing my hair purple, painting my body with tattoos that I very much put on display, and saying in 60 different ways, this is me. These are my choices. This is my life. A huge upside of expressing myself in this way is the response I get from others. While my dad was projecting his fears onto me, saying, they're going to look at you weird, they're going to make judgments, they're going to think this or that, or act this way or that way, and here I am quite passionately telling him, that has not been my experience at all. Come to think of it, I've never had a single negative experience or response from my outfits, at least not to my face. What people choose to say or think about me is none of my concern because it has no bearing on who I am and who I believe myself to be. But when I go out in public in a purple sequin duster and short jean shorts paired with white boots and a captain's hat, I'm met with smiles and joy. I'm met with people stopping me on the street to comment things like, oh my God, I love your outfit, or where did you get your top or your hat? I wish I could pull that off, and things like that. And the thing is, like, everyone can pull this off. There's nothing to pull off here. You just have to be willing to believe something new, expansive, and different, and be willing to just try and play and experiment. When I'm an old woman, I am not going to let age stop me from wearing fun and loud clothing. And I love that I'm seeing more of this online, people pushing to redefine how we see old age, what we think it looks like, what's possible. I'll have an article up on my Substack, Junk Drawer, this week on this very thing, actually tying thrifting to aging, making what's, quote, old, new again, and turning it into something else. Aging can be a wonderful thing. Also proud to be a millennial, because apparently we're the generation that still looks really young when we age. But I've also gotten that my whole life. When I was 16, people thought I was 12, and when I was 25, people thought I was 16, and so forth. I mean, I'm starting to see some smile lines set in, and I literally just plucked a gray hair out of my head like 5 minutes before recording this. But, you know, seeing women, especially online in their 50s, 60s, 70s, living their absolute biggest lives, like dancing on Broadway and chasing their dreams, running marathons, or simply going to the grocery store in some absolutely amazing outfit that screams, I'm still here and I am fabulous. All of that is so inspiring. In fact, parts of the playground of fashion and physical self-expression will become easier when I age. Namely, like when I inevitably start to go full gray, and brightly colored hair dyes will show up much more vibrantly, and easily on gray than my very, very dark brown hair. And I also love the accounts that I'm seeing online of women just embracing the silver hair. I'm not ready to do that yet, but I also just love, I love color so much. It's so fun. And the idea of me as like an 85-year-old woman with bright pink hair just seems so fun to me. And I think that I'll be someone like into my 60s and 70s and hopefully my 80s and 90s who still wears those eccentric and bright things just as I do now. I think that gives license to other people to do the same. It sets an example. And I love that about playing with clothes. The fact that me, being my authentic self in a mint green ostrich feather duster, can send the message to someone else that, hey, if I can wear this, if I can choose to show up as this bright and shiny, very visible version of myself, then you can too. And I believe this because I've experienced this from others. Other people I myself look up to and admire the way they show up in the world. It's all a domino effect. One person being themselves exhibits that to another and inspires them to be their authentic self too. And before you know it, we're all lighting up the world in our unique self-expressions. And hopefully in the future, there is a lot more sequins and glitter going on. I actually just bought a pair of rhinestone covered booties that I'm super excited about. But it's an incredibly hard thing to do, right? To just embrace those exiled parts and shed other people's judgments and opinions and just show up. But it's truly rewarding and remarkable work. It can get to be fun even. Maybe not the conflict part, but like I said, I'm grateful for having that experience with my dad because it showed me how much my voice has become a growl. That even with my own dad, I am firm in setting my boundaries. So here is your homework. Here is your own little assignment for this particular version, an instance of you as you are in this very moment listening to this podcast episode. No matter when this particular episode is timestamped and released, maybe you've been listening to me since I first started this whole thing, or maybe the time you found this one is years from now. The preservation of words is timeless, and I believe we find what we find when we need to find it, or when it finds us, rather. So here's what I want you to do. If you are up for it and wanting to dabble in self-expression and unearth some more of your confidence, or maybe you're already a full-blown weird Barbie, weird being the absolute highest of compliments, and this is just a fun idea for you. I've also been going through a bit of a tough week, so I think I'm going to take my own advice today as well. I want you to put together an outfit you wouldn't normally wear, or that maybe even makes you a little bit uncomfortable, but you know it's something you want to work through and then do something for yourself in that outfit. So what do I mean by that? I mean, maybe you already love loud fashion. So let's take it a step further. If that's you, ask yourself, how can I turn up the volume on my style already? There are plenty of patterns and styles I haven't tried. Maybe it's fun printed socks with heels or experimenting with color blocking or vintage. And maybe if you're not super into bright and bold, think about what your everyday style is and then just veer away from that. Say, today I'm going to try something new and see how you feel. This is also like absolutely perfect for Gemini season. If you're typically a jeans and tee kind of person, maybe try a dress or a skirt or challenge yourself to just pick something other than what you would normally would wear. If you're feeling daring and particularly risky, go for something flashy. My favorite. Sequins, fringe, feathers, a really fun hat or flower crown. There have been a few times I've worn rabbit or cat ears out around town because it's just fun. And life is too short to not play with this body, to play with clothes and appearance. We're so malleable as humans. We're little chameleons. And if you are afraid of change, like I was, this will seem like a big ask in the beginning, just like it was for me. But the more I took small risks like this, because this is where it starts, something as simple and seemingly small as clothes, the easier it becomes to make bigger changes, to take bigger risks, because they all build upon your confidence. And if wearing Elton John sunglasses and a rhinestone studded skirt in public isn't your cup of tea like it is mine, think about how you could push the envelope with yourself just in the privacy of your own home. this was lingerie and just sexy things in general for me. For the longest time, I felt sexy was a whole section of fashion that was completely not for me. I didn't love my body. I couldn't embrace it. I had, well, I still have, a very small chest, so trying to fill out any kind of bra or bikini was depressing as hell for me at one point, until I learned to embrace my small tits, and let me tell you, that is a whole story for another time. Like, that's just, it's a whole thing. I'll get to that eventually, but I love my boobs now. But if we're thinking about it in terms of triggers, lingerie and sexy little tight dresses, that was one for me. That was a trigger for me. And it brought up a lot. And therefore, it presented an opportunity. I wanted to wear pretty lacy things and embrace my body. Granted, this is not a magic wand for body issues. In fact, lingerie probably exacerbates them if you haven't done the inner introspective work to at least be okay with your body. But what I'm getting at is there was a point in time where sexy things like lingerie, short dresses, tight clothing, it just felt uncomfortable for me to wear despite how much I wanted to wear them. That's where it starts. The little desires. But there came a day when I had come far enough along and learned to love my body and the way that I looked that I began trying on different lingerie, and I would actually just do random chores around my house in it. Because newsflash, you do not need a special occasion, and you certainly don't need a partner to be able to wear lingerie. I wear it to do the most mundane things, and actually that is one of the ways I feel I personally make my own magic. By adorning my body in something absolutely beautiful that I personally find stunning and sexy and empowering. And then I'll just, you know, go cook dinner and eat it on the floor while listening to Nina Simone on vinyl or something. And that's the empowering part of using clothing intentionally. Not everyone's into lingerie, though, but I'm just tossing that out as an example. Just challenge yourself. Put something on you've always wanted to try and take it for a test run. Or you could even just do this like at a store. Go to a store and try on something that you might not normally pick out. I do this a lot when I go like to TJ Maxx or Marshall's or something. Some things look stunning on the hanger, and then you try them on and you're like, that did not come out like it did in my head. But the opposite is also true. I have picked up a couple things that have been like, I don't know about this. This doesn't seem so great on the hanger. But then I put it on my body and I'm like, wow, okay, that was surprising. Did not expect that. And then I'll end up leaving the store with like, you know, 5 new things or something. But if nothing else, even if you're not ready to explore the realm of fashion as self-expression, then just do this. Start here by at least writing down a list of qualities of your higher self, of this, from the perspective of the person you want to become, this version of yourself. This is actually something I did way back in the beginning of my journey, like before I even changed my name. I still have this list, actually. I wrote down my name at the top, the Maverick, that was before I had legally changed my name. And I was basically building out this version of myself. I listed out the qualities I wanted to embody. Things like confidence, being outspoken and bold, taking risks. So write out this list and then take some time to meditate on that and see yourself as this version and think about what do they look like and get specific, like what color is their hair? What are they wearing? Do they have any tattoos? How do they carry themselves? What do they spend their time doing? Use that as your blueprint. And keep that list in a safe place or somewhere that you can go back and refer to it or add to it or change it. Or if you want a bit more of a creative and actionable step, take it to Pinterest and build a little digital version, like a digital vision board for your higher self. Pin outfit ideas to it or anything else that resonates with this version of you that you want to become. And then before you know it, you're the witch standing your ground against the lion over your own wardrobe choices because you've become someone who loves and honors their body. And not only that, but you've become someone who stands up for the beliefs you've worked so hard to cultivate, for the shit you've worked so hard to change. not the outside stuff, but all the inside juice, the shadows you've looked at and what you've realized was yours and what wasn't, and building this whole new framework for who and what you want to be. Fashion is just an entry point for all of that, a really easy and fun way to discover more of who you are. And the more outwardly you reflect this inner self you've always sensed inside, or this version of yourself you want to become, the more you will attract those kinds of people who will fully embrace all of you for all your eccentricities, for all your differences. I am beyond grateful for the people in my life that do this. Shout out to all the people in my many social circles for always championing my weird and my wild, everything from my name to my outfits to standing on stages to reading my weird poetry. Having people in your life that truly, honest to God, see you will help you see that in yourself, will help you become more and more of yourself. And the more you are that person, the more you give license to others to be more of themselves. What a beautiful and incredible mission in this world, to understand and embrace yourself as an individual by separating yourself from the pack. But not only that, by integrating your own wild, your own magic, a best-dressed witch with the heart of a lion inside. And then all that's left to do is just let that magic shine.
Thanks for sticking around until the very end. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support my one-woman show, please subscribe and share it on social media or leave a rating and review. Reviews will help this pod to be found more easily, and that in turn helps this whole thing grow. To catch the latest from me, you can follow me on Instagram at Mav Malone. Let's connect. My DMs are always open and I'd love to hear from you. If you want to stay up to date on the latest events, books, and podcast episode releases, please head to my website, maverickmalone.com, and sign up for my email newsletter. Thanks again, and I'll see you next time.